That's awesome. Thank you. All right. Hi. My name is Jeremy Harper. I served as a worship guy here for 8 years, many moons ago. And so I'm glad to see faces that I haven't seen in a long time, just familiar, wonderful faces. And I'm also excited to see new faces. Welcome. New Life has a special place in the hearts of my family. New Life Church was there for the birth of my first two sons, Jackson and Levi. They allowed me to grow and support me as a worship pastor. And when we were called to San Antonio, there were people from this church who drove down to San Antonio and helped us move. Talk about love. This church has also been a testament to the love of Christ witnessed by my family during the adoption of Kevin and Alex. The church is a reflection of Christ. We strive every day as individuals to be a reflection of Christ. In doing so, we love more and more. So we're going to be talking about the love candle today. So you're going to hear love a lot. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for the opportunity to worship you through song, through scripture, to praise you, to lift you up, to encourage and edify one another, to do your work and your will. Lord, please open our hearts and our minds to what you have to say and what you have to do today. We love you in your son's holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today I have the honor to share how love grew, manifested, was tested, and triumphed in our adoption story. Look, God is too big for me to understand. So when we say God is love, there are many facets to how that love is experienced. It is impossible for us to grasp all of God's love all at once. Even though he is love and is all facets of himself at all times. So as this testimony unfolds, you will see, I hope you will see the facets of God's love. I hope you will see the power of the love of Christ and how the Holy Spirit guides us all into connection points of God's love, how he uses us, and how he supernaturally expresses his love for us. The beginning of this story starts years before the adoption ever happened. When I was in high school, my youth group would serve at a children's home. We would go help cook, clean, play with the kids, and do a VBS. After those experiences, my heart grew and even hurt for orphans, even at such a young age. This didn't make sense to me. Where were the parents, the family? Yes, I understood that people could have a car wreck and all of a sudden lose their family. But that wasn't the kid that I was meeting at the children's home. Some were pregnant already. Some were causing all kinds of trouble, and some were fighting their own drug addictions. Their parents had drug addictions, mental health issues, and abuse. These were major culprits of why these kids were going through what they were going through. You know what? I understood that. Just didn't understand the whole situation. These kids had experienced more pain than I could even process. The house parents that served and loved on these children were a special kind of person. A lot of them had their own children, and they also had the heart to serve and love the kids in the children's home. Love was shown every day by these house parents, whether the kids wanted it or not, whether the kids felt like they deserved it or not. That influence informed me when I became a father myself. Amber and I would have many conversations about children, adoption, should we adopt, or should we have more the traditional way. At this point, we were already a family of four with Jackson and Levi in our home. We felt like our home wasn't complete. The Holy Spirit was doing his thing. We spent much time in prayer, much time in conversation, and eventually we decided to foster to adopt. You could adopt someone from another country or a direct adoption. However, we felt led to adopt this way. Some reasons were practical, like the cost of direct adoption. But really, we kept coming back to foster to adopt. Paul Lee, a mentor of mine. I lost my place. Here we go. Mentor of mine. There you are. Was now a web designer and posted on Facebook a design he did for a foster agency that was faith-based in Fort Worth, close to my parents' house. Holy Spirit, using my relationships and love and respect that grew from connections in the past, we had found our fostering agency to work with. When you foster, you have to get training and certified in things like first aid, CPR, etc. Amber and I were both working and were unsure who would watch our younger children. No worries. God had already worked that out. We drove to my parents' house and we would drop off Jackson and Levi and we would go to the training sessions. My parents got extra time to love on my boys and which they had no issues with. What a blessing. For the next 7 weeks, we did this to get prepared. We started to get to know the people who worked at the agency, and we told them our plans. They had been doing this for many years, and the idea that we would immediately have a child placed in our home as a direct foster to adopt candidate was almost impossible, they said. They tried to prepare us. That's not how this normally worked, guys. The most likely scenario was to foster many children for a couple of years, and if a child, or more likely a sibling group, had their parents sign away their rights, and you then wanted to adopt the children, you could. You see, fostering is an incredible ministry, and the main job when you foster is to love on the children as their family or parents get things put back together. Honestly, we all want families to not be broken and to be healed. Foster parents are a special breed of people who open their homes to hurt children, who not only love on the kids, but also the child's families. There are foster parents who foster for a living, and let me tell you, they have more than a full-time job. Some people have thoughts that people foster just for the money, which isn't that great, by the way. Those naive people need to host foster children for 1 week. And I think they would feel everyone who does this is vastly underpaid. As much as we all want families to be healed and healthy, the truth is Satan has been trying to destroy families with gusto, if you will, and has been a breeding ground for all kinds of lasting sin and pain. I'm sure that in your own family that there have been attacks. As we know, your sin, my sin, your choices affect the people around you and the ones you love the most, aka hurt people, hurt people. The closer people are to you, the more they can hurt you. This truth, without the love of Christ, has destroyed people throughout history and has eaten at the fabric of every social system. Family, government, and yes, even the church, to the point of hopelessness for many. Jesus is our hope. We light a candle of hope during the Advent season. God is love. Jesus is our living hope. 1 Peter 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the testimony of every believer. This is why we share the gospel. We need hope. We all need Jesus. We need the love of Christ. Sadly, many families honestly have been swallowed in guilt, hopelessness, selfishness, pain and shame. Many people are just coping with their pain. They're lost. Just being real, there are kids growing up in this environment and it doesn't change for them. Ever. They go in and out of the foster system and their family's homes. But finally, they end up staying in a foster home until they age out. That's when you turn 18. Never a secure or consistent home life. And then they decide to have families of their own or families out of negligence. And the cycle grows and continues. Here is where Amber and I were called to step in. We want it to be a forever home for a child. But honestly, at this point, we were prepared for a sibling group. We prayed and were open to God using us as a foster home, but we just knew we were to be a forever home for someone. Our agency was open as well and was instrumental, as you will soon see. To add insult to injury, I had a dear friend who was in the middle of a 2-year struggle for a child he was fostering. Once again, these situations are complex and complicated, so please understand it's really hard on everyone. The parents would say they were going to go through rehab or training. They would start it, and they would never finish it, and the cycle would happen over and over again. My friend and his wife had loved on this child for 2 years, and they wanted him in their home forever. They had seen the pattern and didn't want the child to be in and out of a home for the rest of his life. It was painful for everyone involved, the parents, the child, my friends. Did Amber and I really want to invite this into our quaint little life? For some reason, we can tend to think that real love is only warm and cozy or romantic or deeply safe, like in friendships, which each of these things are true about love. Just like facets of God, so is the nature of love. Love is also a defender, sacrificial, tough, and sometimes painful. Truth is, the more aspects of love we experience and grow in, the more like Christ we become. The more we understand the love of Christ, and the more we understand God. My father taught me when I was getting married to Amber to use 1 Corinthians 13:4 through 7 as a barometer of how I'm doing as a husband. It says, love is patience, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. This scripture defines God. It defines the love of Christ. My dad told me to take this scripture and put my name in front of it, of each truth of love. Jeremy is patient. Jeremy is kind. Jeremy does not envy. Jeremy does not boast. Jeremy is not proud. Jeremy does not dishonor others. Jeremy is not self-seeking. Jeremy is not easily angered. Jeremy keeps no record of wrongs. Jeremy does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Jeremy always protects. Jeremy always trusts. Jeremy always hopes. Jeremy always perseveres. I would love to tell you that I excel at all these things at all times, but not even close. However, because Amber strives for the same, and we are guided by the Holy Spirit in our desire to be like Christ, the environment for love continues to grow. God is in charge of our marriage and our home, and He guides us. Because of Christ's love, we have an ability to forgive, see truth in love, and support each other and our children. It continues to grow. This is a direct reflection and gift from the love of Christ. This also could be said another way. God has supernaturally given us the ability to love, even when it's hard to love on that person, even when they hurt us, even when they leave the trash out. When we come to church and hurt people hurt people, how do we personally respond? So the answer is yes, we decided to invite the messy, painful, uncertain nature of this choice in our life. Trusting God is really hard sometimes. Trust can't be true without some kind of uncertainty. That's what the basis of faith is, being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Be love to others, always. Our dear friend Meredith had friends that were foster parents. They would spend many hours at the gymnastics class talking. They had a big heart and consistently fostered and adopted many children. The law had just changed in Texas, and they would not be able to have as many children in their home as they currently had, including twin boys that they had been fostered. Meredith wanted us to meet this family, and specifically the twins. We met for coffee with the foster family and met the twins. We talked to them, and it was so good to talk to others who had been doing this for a long time. They were wise and kind. We found out that the twins would be needing a new home. Our agency got in contact with the twins agency, and they told us that they already had a home in mind for them. However, Amber was motivated to communicate to the twins agency and plead our case as a good home for the twins. She even made a video showing our family and that we would be a good place for them and sent it to them. 2 weeks passed and we hadn't heard anything. We were also on a waiting list for other children to come into our home. Our agency knew we were hoping to be a final home for someone, so they were looking from that approach for us. And I was grateful for that. I knew that it would be hard for me personally to have children come in and out of my home and not stay. God's love and mercy and care for us is immeasurable. 2 weeks later, we get a phone call. And we had 2.5 days to get a space ready for 2 boys, 10-month-old twins. See, we didn't know how the room needed to be set up or what age. We didn't know if it was going to be a girl and a boy or 4 kids or 1 kid or 12 or 2. We had no idea. We thought we'd have like a week or two. Nope, 2.5 days. This church stepped up. Friends stepped up. Family stepped up. Within 2 days, we had cribs, diapers, clothes, everything for the twins. What a display of love of Christ from the body of Christ and our friends and family. These were the twins we had met earlier. God is doing his thing again. Now, there was no guarantee that they would be in our home forever, but for now, we knew they were supposed to be with us. Our church, friends, and family loved on the twins. We had become aware of the twins' birth mother and family, and the situation wasn't good. We regularly had people in our home checking on the twins and being evaluated as parents. This was understandable, but very uncomfortable. To have someone come into your home who doesn't know you and decide whether or not you're a good parent or not. But it was very understandable. Within 6 months in our home, we were made aware that we could adopt the twins. Unbelievable. Within 9 months, we were at the courthouse and Kevin and Alex were Harpers. Amen. This was supposedly impossible, adopting this quick. But to us, but nothing is impossible with God. The sweet lady we had been working with from our agency said to us, I've been doing this for 15 years and I've never seen such a quick adoption as this. I've never seen this. God's love was on full display. His plan was on full display. Christ's love was on display. He made this happen. We celebrated. We had an adoption party here in this very building. It was amazing. Family members called them cousin, grandson, nephew, Kevin and Alex. I don't know why he chose us for this. I don't understand why I knew of others that went through so many different paths than we did. Many of them were more difficult, more painful paths. What I do know is that for Kevin, Alex, Levi, Jackson, Amber, and myself, we are the Harpers. We are bound by the love of Christ, and we are lifted up by the church, family, and friends. We are the body of Christ. We are all adopted. Romans 8:14-17. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. You need to know adoption isn't easy. This wasn't a happily ever after story. The adoption happened and all of a sudden everything was just like in the movies. Didn't happen that way. There are many things that create challenges beyond what we thought could happen. Attachment, guilt, worthiness, abandonment are just few of the things we tackled together as a family. However, through this, our love has grown. We've all grown. I know this church is going through some challenges. You may feel hurt, abandonment, or guilt. You have been adopted into God's family. Sometimes we all need to be reminded of whose we are. You are not a secondhand citizen in the body of Christ. Alex and Kevin are not secondhand citizens of Harperdom. They have all the rights and privileges that everyone in this family has. If you are feeling unworthy, you aren't necessarily wrong. You aren't. I'm not. However, through the blood of Christ, we've been cleansed and made worthy. I don't have to be shackled with my past. Neither do you. He is working in new life right now and is using it to his glory. Keep strong. Keep hopeful. Keep loving. Challenges provide opportunities in life to grow. New life will grow. You will grow. We will know his love more and more each day. To anyone here who is facing life without the love of Christ, I hope you hear this testimony as to how vital a relationship with Jesus Christ actually is. To those of you who have lost hope and feel beaten down, Maybe you've not been as close to God lately. God is like an old friend that you haven't seen in a while. And when you talk, it's been like time hadn't passed at all. He's ready to hear from you, love on you, and remind you of the living hope and love that we have in Christ. We've been away from this space for many, many years. And although there's a lot more gray, in my beard, I'm only talking about myself. I felt the same way I did 10 years ago, seeing your faces. And God is the same way. If you haven't spent time with him like you know you should, don't let the guilt or shame eat you up, spit you out, and make you feel hopeless. If your family is a mess, welcome to the club. Thank the Lord for his mercy and grace. The love of Christ is life-changing. And I want you to know that nothing should ever separate you from him because he is right there. Please listen. Love is way more powerful than you think it is. And if you think it's very powerful, it's way more powerful than that. Because our God is love, and it was exemplified on the cross through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We just went through an election season. We just went through whatever family situation you're going through. This church has gone through things. Everything is in his hands. Hope, trust, and love. Pray with me, please. Lord God, we come to you and thank you for your never failing hand. We thank you for the life that you provided for us. Lord, there are things that you put in our lives that we don't get, we don't understand, we don't know why we're dealing with this pain. We don't know why we're dealing with this struggle. But we know you do. And Lord, I pray because I've seen you do it time and time again. I pray for hope and healing and peace and love. I pray for a renewed spirit in this place. I pray for refreshing from your Holy Spirit. And I pray for an opening of the eyes of the joy that each of us have in your presence. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and thank you for each other. We love you. And in your Son's holy name, Jesus Christ, amen.